The networking grind tells us to just keep reaching out, cast a wide net, and something will stick. But chasing everyone often means connecting with no one in a meaningful way. So let's have ourselves a pocket-sized pep talk and dig into why a carefully chosen short list of high-value connections can spark more meaningful interactions, stronger relationships, and career-defining opportunities.
A pocket-sized pep talk, the podcast that can help energize your business and your life with a quick, inspiring message. Now, here's your host, Rob Jalas.
Today's guest, David Ackert, is a co-founder and CEO of Ackert Inc. and its subsidiary, Pipeline Plus. He's a highly regarded business development thought leader and has pioneered revenue acceleration programs for hundreds of professional service firms around the globe. His market leader podcast has won several JD Supra Reader's Choice Awards. His new book is The Shortlist, How to Drive Business Development by Focusing on People Who Matter Most. Happy to have you with us and welcome to the show, David.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. Well, pleasure to have you. So let's dive right in. And I want to start with that concept of the bigger the network, the better. Many professionals, including yours truly, think that way. So how do we help people identify who actually belongs in the network that they want to, and so they can achieve meaningful goals?
Yeah. You know, I thought like you, I was amassing as many people as I could. I was very much from that never eat alone school. And I just found that it gets very overwhelming and it sort of lacks strategy, right? And the thing that's really interesting about it is that you'll meet a lot of interesting people, maybe some of them less interesting, but at some point, lightning strikes. You have that lunch or that conversation with someone, and boom, there's a referral or there's a piece of business. And it almost confirms this notion of, oh, right, see, I need to meet as many people as possible because you never know, right? Serial networkers tell themselves this all the time. You never know. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know where you're going to find that business. The problem is you never know is not a strategy. What you'll do is you'll meet a lot of people. You probably won't follow up with most of them. A lot of those opportunities that may be high value kind of, you know, go by the wayside while you're chasing the next exciting new relationship. And so you end up dating a lot and never really marrying those opportunities that have longevity if only you double down on them. You know, we have these conversations with each other and we end it with like, well, keep me in mind, as if that's going to be some sort of closing mechanism to ensure that they keep you in mind. The only thing that's going to have someone keep you in mind is if you stay on their radar. And that's what leads to this concept of the shortlist. Yes, you need to go out there and kiss a lot of frogs. But once you've identified a few people that align with your SMART goals, your specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound goals, you got to tap the brakes and say, hold on, I've just met Rob Jalas. He's amazing. And he would be a fantastic ally for my business. And what I should do now is make sure that rather than just filling my calendar with somebody new 2 or 3 months from now, I need to make sure that I'm staying top of mind and high value for Rob on a regular basis. And that's going to mean narrowing in my focus.
Right. Okay. Let me play devil's advocate just for a second.
Please.
Because I got you. But I think here's where the rub is, which I think you can clean up very easily. It's sort of like when you give a presentation, you know, not all the audiences are the same. So we have to, you know, one size doesn't necessarily fit all. So I'm going to give you an example. I work with people who are in career transition, and that's a form of a heavy form of networking. They say close to 85% of jobs are found through network connections. And yet I'm pushing people to talk to somebody in the CVS line, talk, you know, Safeway lane. Stop looking at the floor because of all the stories of, you'll never believe how I got my job. I was talking to this guy and he knew a person who knew a person and they're fabulous stories. And so I don't, there's a part of me that doesn't want to turn that part of networking off, but it might be apples and oranges. I'm just giving you a scenario and maybe I'm wrong, but how would you react to that?
I would just say that, you know, my background is in professional services firms. Mm-hmm. And when you're selling professional services, your primary pipelines are either going to be, first and foremost, your clients who are already bringing in business, and hopefully they'll be bringing in more business and you're expanding the scope of those relationships. Or it's your referral sources. These are the people who have access to other clients that aren't currently in your client base and can make introductions and referrals that bring in new business. So that tends to be much more relationship oriented as a business model, as opposed to a more transactional one, where if I'm going to go find a new job, you're right, I need to talk to as many people as possible because it's a binary. I talk to one person and it's either yes, I have an opportunity for you, or no, I don't. And then I need to move on. Now, if that person is really well connected, maybe they're a recruiter, or maybe they're in HR, or maybe they are an executive at SHRM or something like that, and they're likely to hear of a lot of job opportunities just through the course of what they do, I would put them on that short list. But again, it aligns to my SMART goal. My SMART goal is I want to get a new job at a certain pay rate. I want to do it within the next 3 to 6 months. I want it to be in the certain geography, right? I've gotten really specific, and now I need to look at who's the most likely person to help me get there. And in some cases, it's going to be those people on the short list. But to your point, in this instance, it's very transactional, it's very binary. I also need to talk to as many people as possible.
Yeah. All right. Last time I'm going to poke you on this, I promise.
No, please poke away.
I that's what I love about these types of conversations. I almost want to clean the wound out a little bit right now. So that
Sure,
helps.
sure.
Like I said, I was thinking that would probably be where you're going, which is, I'm not going to argue with you, but you're talking about a different scenario. What about the LinkedIn scenario that
Yeah.
says, for even guys like me, when somebody reaches out and says, I want to be on your podcast,
Yeah.
first thing I do is look to see how many contacts they have on LinkedIn. And
Sure.
I'm not asking where they're coming from. I'm
That's
just looking
right.
for a number. If they have 240, well, and if they have 20,000, well.
Yes.
So, argument there?
Sure. LinkedIn is not where you keep your short list.
Okay.
So LinkedIn is top of the funnel, right? LinkedIn is primarily a marketing engine. It's where you're going to put thought leadership. You're going to put a post. You hope a lot of people like it. This is how you're kind of staying top of mind with all of the people who have a pulse and are tenuously connected to you. But your short list is going to be the business development piece of it. This is where you're having one-on-one conversations, not one-to-many conversations. And so that's going to be a different pool of people. It's going to be a much more curated, much more discerning group of people, as opposed to anybody who's ever invited me to connect with them. And I said, sure.
Okay, good. All right. Wound officially clean. So let's talk shortlist for a minute. How do I do it? What are some key factors that I'm gonna be looking for, so that I can get the high value ones where I want them?
Yeah. Well, let me break it down for you in terms of kind of the origin story here. So, we've had a piece of software in our industry for about 14 years now. You would think of it as like a CRM light product, okay? It's called Pipeline Plus Tracker. We've had thousands of users using this tool to keep track of their most important relationships. And what we found when we segmented those users who were consistently reporting a growth in business is that they were doing things differently from all the other users who were just, logging stuff from time to time, but not particularly successfully. What we found among those successful users is, first of all, they had a clear goal in mind, right? Because in the software, you can actually identify a goal. So that was really important. They weren't just kind of networking for the sake of networking, and I guess I'll just see where it goes. They had a specific objective they were trying to get to, which really helps because then you can reverse engineer a short list to that objective. Like, if I want to have a particular kind of opportunity in a particular kind of industry, well, then I should focus on people who are influential in that industry, for instance, right? The other thing we noticed is that they had a list of 9 to 35 targets on their dashboard, whereas others had either a lot more people, again, they were serial networkers, I know everybody, I'm putting everybody in there, or they had too few people. But 9 to 35 was that sweet spot. Now, remember, this is professional services. So these are people who already have a full-time job. They're kind of squeezing business development into the margins. But if they had fewer than 9, it was too few at bats. And if they had more than 35, they couldn't go deep with those relationships. It was just light touch superficially across a vast population. The next thing we saw was that they had an average of 14 helpful interactions between first contact and first contract. In other words, Rob, you and I are meeting. This is our first interaction. But if you and I want to do some meaningful business together, then we're going to need to get to know each other more. You're going to need to, have maybe a lunch with me or a drink with me, or we're going to have another one of these virtual interactions. But it's going to take a while before you say, oh my gosh, if when it comes to business development, David's my guy. If anyone ever says I need help with business development, I'm going to refer David, right? Because I've earned my way to the top of your short list, and that takes several interactions before
Is
it
there a number
happens.
there? Did you throw out 14 a second ago?
14 is the average.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do
So
you
some.
say to these lead magnets that I mean, I had my arm twisted on a lead magnet when the guy said 8. We're going to
Sure.
go 8 before we ask for that meeting. And I
Sure.
went 8, 2, 3. You're at 14 now. What do you
But
say to that?
remember, this is professional services, so it's
Right.
relationship based, and these are very high ticket items that are being purchased in the context of professional services. This is
Okay.
like, a $3 million legal transaction, or this is a M&A transaction, or this is a six-figure consulting deal,
Okay.
right? So you're not just going to be like, oh, you emailed me twice, I guess I'll hire you. You've got to get to know them. You've got to get to know their expertise. Maybe you bring them in to propose for something and you don't quite like it, but you keep them in mind for the next one. Sooner or later, 14 interactions on average is what accumulates if this is really a high-ticket B2B transaction.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you got to keep reminding me that because I get tunnel visioned a little bit, and I'm
Sure,
sort of
sure.
looking at some other aspects of it. All right, you gave me some best practices there. Tell me a common mistake or two that people make, and no listing Rob's. You got to find some other ones.
No. Okay, here we go. So, common mistakes, I would say one of the most common mistakes is that people just fail to follow up. And so we end up back in this transactional, I'm, going to just meet as many people, shotgun against the side of the barn, see which pellets hit, rather than a bow and arrow where you're getting really specific about what the target is and how you're going to be really focused on hitting it. So they'll try once, they'll try twice, but then they get a kind of impatient, they get discouraged, especially if the other party is ghosting them. And then they give up. They take it personally. They say, well, I can take a hint. You clearly don't want to talk to me, so I'm going to move on. But in fact, what we've seen is that if this is really an important target, like if this is a make or break client for you, then you've got to stay in the game. You can't quit the game before you have a chance to win it. You may want to think of it as dating, right? Like, let's say there's someone who you really like to get serious with, but they're giving you the cold shoulder for the first few kind of overtures, right? And you could just say, all right, I can take a hint, I'm going to go away. Or you could say, look, I'm not going to give up that easy. I'm going to bring them flowers. I'm going to, let them know that I care about them. I'm going to send them a birthday card. I mean, it and I know it starts to sound like stalking, but in the context of business, if you're really being helpful over and over again, demonstrating your expertise, sooner or later, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to say, look, I have absolutely no interest in you. Please leave me alone. Or they're going to say, look, I've been super busy. I'm sorry I've been blowing you off. And by the way, that third thing you sent me was really helpful. I meant to tell you that. And now I have an opportunity for us to have a conversation. So thanks for staying top of mind. Let's talk. 99% of the time, it's going to go that direction.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a really tricky area though. And I because we're straddling that line of I don't want to be a pain in the neck, but I want to follow up professionally. And one of my approaches, I'm curious what you think of this. It might and it's we start talking about style now. But one of my approaches when I'm getting I hate the word ghosting, but if it looks like a ghost, walks like a ghost, it's a ghost. Is to remind people and tell them in an email, I don't have my words exactly, but basically, I'm following up and I hope that's the kind of person you want to work with. So in that spirit, I want to stay on top, but basically telling them, yeah, I'm going to keep coming back because ultimately I think that's the partner you're looking for, as opposed to, I didn't want to bother you. I was nervous. And so I hid under a rock somewhere. But
Yeah.
I like actually telling them that's what I'm doing because I think you want that from me.
Yeah, well, again, I think you're right. This is a style issue. I would not do that. I don't actually refer to any of the prior emails. I
Okay.
pretend that I never sent them or that
Yeah.
they didn't ignore me. It's like, hey, here's an article. I was thinking of you. I thought you'd find it helpful. Check out, paragraph three. It's unique to your industry and related to some of the things that I'd love to talk to you about. a month goes by. Hey, I'm doing this webinar. Would love for you to attend. I think you'll find it really interesting for XYZ reasons. A month goes by. Hey, I was just thinking of you because I was, reading the news and it looks like your industry is going through some turmoil. Maybe we should have a conversation sometime. In any case, here's a link that you might like, right? Like you want to make it really easy for this person to click reply. So if there's any justification or if there's any guilt trip or if there's any of that's woven into it, you're adding weight to something that should frankly be really weightless for them. They should just be able to be like, wow, David, mea culpa, man. I know you sent me a bunch of stuff. Sorry, I've been underwater, but I really want to talk about this thing. We don't need to clean up the mess of the nine emails that I sent that you didn't respond to, or all those, the justification I had about, look, isn't this the kind of commitment you look for from someone you want to work with? It's like, I try to keep it as clean as possible because I just want them to click reply without any baggage.
Okay. All right. Let's see if you can disagree with this next one then. I'm on a roll.
Hit me.
and by the way, just so you know, when you can listen to my podcast, I think the most enjoyable part of a conversation like this is to talk to a subject matter expert on a topic, that's you, and have a host that's willing to go, okay, that makes sense. That if I wrote a book on this, I'd come to bat a little harder. I'm taking notes. So I really appreciate that. So I kind of say tongue in cheek, let's see how you deal with this one. I also believe from my game plan is when I'm following up, and it's not necessarily being ghosted, it's just trying to get some more work from a client I haven't heard from in a
Sure,
while.
sure.
So I want to start reaching out. I'm always looking for a reason. I mean, it might be I saw this article and I thought of you.
Yeah.
I had a guest on the podcast who was on this topic, which I think might be pertinent to something you're doing. In other words, not to just say, how's it going? Can we hire me again? But
Right.
more of, there's a reason why I'm reaching out.
That's right.
Am I okay on that one?
Well, here's what I would say. You're okay on all of your stuff, but if you're looking for agreement, what I will
I'm
tell
looking
you
for
is that
agreement. Yes.
every single outreach has to be helpful. It
Okay.
has to be helpful. So there, it can't ever be a, hey, I haven't heard from you on that proposal that I sent. Have you made up your mind yet? That's not helpful, right? That's just nagging. So come up with an excuse. Again, it's not that hard. Google, use Google, find an article. Use ChatGPT, find a strategy. But you always want to come to the table with something helpful because to your earlier point, you're demonstrating what it's like to actually work with you. And
Right.
you want that experience to be positive and additive and contributory at every turn.
Okay. All right. How about this one? Sometimes we look at our network and we feel like it's almost tapped out. What would be the first step toward seeing it with some fresh eyes or some hidden opportunities? Because this is a short list we're working with.
Yes. Okay. So your shortlist is often the best place to find the next new person on your shortlist. Because if you've identified 9 to 35 people, you've stayed top of mind with them. Some of them have become your clients. Some of them have become your referral sources. Some of them are prospects, but at least they're being responsive and you're in a regular dynamic with them. It's very easy to say, all right, which of these people do I know the best? Okay, these five. I know these five the best. Like Rob and I have become besties over the last few, years of me having these conversations with him. So I'm going to reach out to Rob and I'm going to say, hey, Rob, I'm looking to meet somebody who fits this characteristic. Again, I'm reverse engineering from my SMART goal. So somebody who's in this industry or somebody who has this kind of influence or somebody who tends to hire these kinds of people. Is there anyone in your network you could think of who might be a good introduction for me? And by the way, I'm happy to return in kind. If there's somebody who you're looking to meet, please let me know. I never want this to be a one-way street. But that's always the first place you go because those people want you to succeed. They're invested in you. They've already demonstrated as much by being responsive to you and by building a relationship with you. The next thing to keep in mind is that I'm not suggesting that you never network ever again and you only focus on these 9 to 35. Your shortlist is an organic, fluid list. There are going to be people who drop off the list because, I don't know, they change industries or they just, you have a falling out or it just isn't going to work out anymore. Maybe you move up market and you kind of outgrow them. I mean, these things all happen. And you're going to be at an event and you're going to meet someone and you'll be like, gosh, they'd be great for my shortlist. In fact, they're better than half of my shortlist. I should totally add this person, right? So people are trickling in, people are trickling out. You're always going to have a core group that pretty much stay the same over a period of a few years. But it is an exercise in constantly curating and hopefully improving the quality over time of this group of people who you've decided are your inner circle, they're your posse, they're the people you're going to prioritize because ultimately they have the highest impact on you achieving your goals.
Okay. So riddle me this. Let's say that we're working that list and we're making a, we're trying to get a first interaction going and making it meaningful rather than transactional. What are some practical techniques you might want to share with first contact? And not everybody's on our list right now who can be a material. So we've got somebody that we want to reach out to who really kind of checks all the boxes. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. So this is someone with whom this is a cold outreach. You haven't had any
Yes.
interaction with them. Okay.
But to your point, so I stay on track with you. They really look like a very meaningful network connection. They could grow to that.
Yes, I get it. On
Okay.
paper, they look really attractive.
Yes.
What I would say is you don't want to put them on your short list yet because you don't know who they are in terms of their character. You don't know if maybe what you've seen online or wherever it is that you've kind of made this assessment is an accurate representation of their capabilities and their influence. And you don't know if they have a reciprocal personality. Like they could just be a taker as opposed to a giver. You want someone who, is going to be willing to contribute as well as receive. So that first initial outreach, is sort of your test to see if this is someone who might earn a spot on your short list. And I would say, first and foremost, make it really relevant. Don't make it about you. Hey, you could really help me out. Would you be willing to have coffee? It's like, who has time for that, right? What's in it for them? So you want to think about, do you have a contact in common that you can reference? Hey, on LinkedIn, I see that we're connected to Rob Jollis and Mary Smith and James Doe. And so, Mary's great, by the way. I just saw her at an event a couple of weeks ago. How well do you know her? So already there's some relevancy there. Now, they may not know Mary that well. They may not respond. So again, it's okay if they ghost me, right? I'm playing the long game. Then my next email is like, hey, I wanted to reach out again. By the way, I was just reading this article, or I was just, checking out the news. It looks like, this tariff situation is getting pretty serious. Is that something that's going to impact your business? Because we have other clients that we've been helping to navigate through those waters. Again, I'm being helpful, right? And they can ignore me if they want. There's going to be no guilt trip coming. I'm already starting to demonstrate that. I didn't say, you never told me if you know Mary Smith or not, right? I'm not going to be a baby about it, right? So again, it's going to be very easy for them to click reply when they're ready to. Now, I want to say one thing. I'm not here suggesting that you never cut bait. I'm here suggesting that our research shows that people cut bait too early. Those unsuccessful users in our database tended to follow up one time after their initial outreach and then they quit. On average, one. The successful users had an average of 14 interactions. So you see the difference between those who were really in it to win it and those who just got their feelings hurt and took their toys and went home.
I can actually quote you. I've been in business long enough to quote you some numbers that would just personal. Some of my biggest contacts and clients. And I'm talking Fortune 50. Took 15 years,
Sure.
and little touches here and there. I mean, we weren't quiet for 15 years, but 15 years to be the kind of client I wanted them to become,
That's right.
and that's I don't think that's as common with mom and pop organizations. But the bigger you go, I think the more patient you're going to have to be. There's so many layers,
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. And the more demand for their attention,
right?
right? There's a lot of competition for those Fortune 50 decision makers.
Yeah. Just from a book standpoint, because you're an author, do you know how many proposals that the New York Times gets a day for them to review the book and become be reviewed by New York Times? I can't
No,
say
tell
that
me.
silly. Over 1,000 a day.
Yeah.
And when I was in a meeting where somebody put up their hands and go to the person who actually gets those, the gatekeeper, well, what do you do with those? She said, we hit select all delete.
Right.
We're not, even that industry's changed. You don't really come to us. We're coming to you. Do
That's right.
something that puts you on the radar screen. We'll spot
That's
it.
right. That's right.
But it's how. Do you have a sales background, David?
Yes and no. My background, my first career was in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anything about being an actor, a professional actor, you know that It is a constant sales pitch. You are preparing for your audition, you're auditioning, you're pitching yourself. It's the most personal kind of pitch. And then when they say, nope, we're going to hire somebody else for this role, it's, you develop that thick skin because they really did reject you. They didn't reject your work product. They said, nope, we're going with the other guy because he's taller or he's, got the right look we're looking for, whatever it is. So that was my first career, but, that's where I kind of A, developed some insight into just random networking doesn't get you very far, and being a lot more intentional and purposeful about that can be much more productive. And B, I started to get a taste for how to communicate with people, how to present myself, how to stand up in a room and give a presentation. And all of those skills ended up serving me well when I did eventually get my certification as a business coach and my master's in psychology.
Yeah. Well, as a compliment to you, I'm asking because you sound, and take this the right way, you're putting out some really smart sales ideas as you're communicating with me, and pieces that I typically hear from grizzled sales vets. I'll give you one of the last ones you threw out there, and you went right through the stop sign, but it was a very important piece you mentioned, that what's in it for me,
Yeah.
which we nickname in the industry a WIFM.
With them, that's
Okay.
right.
Right. We can't undervalue how important that is, particularly in the question that I was asking you, which is, this is pretty cold right now. We don't
Yeah.
know each other.
That's right.
I don't know how long you think I'm going to wait to hear what's in it for me. And I respect people on the other side of that conversation who are waiting for it,
Yeah.
because the alternative is, I don't care what's in it for me. I got all the time in the world. Not sure that's our prospect.
Right.
So good on you. I just want you to know I'm listening. All right, if someone listening wants to start applying this system today, what would be some, what's the simplest action they could take to try and kind of follow your lead here, other than getting the book? What was the book's net title again?
It's called The Shortlist. Easy to remember.
Yeah, I checked you out on Amazon too. Doing well. Got some nice reviews on it. Let's get some more, folks. Remember, nicest thing you can do for an author is not just buy the book, but review the book. And he doesn't walk on water. I'm looking at him. One or two sentences will do just fine. Now, back to our story. What would be some simple moves that they could make?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said the word simple because it really, it's so important to me to distill this to its simplest, most achievable components. I think, business development, sales, it can all feel very overwhelming. And to your earlier point, people in this work do get grizzled because it's a grind. And, you've got to kind of pick yourself up by your bootstraps and put yourself out there over and over again, facing rejection. So what I tried to do with the shortlist is provide some very simple, achievable things that you can do. The first is that SMART goal. You'd be surprised at how many people are out there selling without having really taken the time to create a specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound goal for themselves. Their goals are kind of vague. It's like, well, I want to do better than I did last year, or I want to get that big client, or I want to get two more big clients. What define big, and by when? And what are the actionable techniques you're going to use? Because remember, there's an A in SMART. What is actionable that you're going to do that makes some sense? And is it realistic? I think people don't ask themselves these questions necessarily in a very surgical fashion before they start putting their energy out there and maybe wasting some of it. So that's number one. Write out your SMART goal. It's just a paragraph, but it's going to hit all five of the characteristics in that acronym. Number two, start thinking about your shortlist. Now, again, this is where I think a lot of people, and again, if you're in a more transactional industry, if you're dialing for dollars, then this is not for you. You're going to have to go high volume. There's just no way around it. But if it's in a relationship-based industry where you're looking for those Fortune 50s who are going to keep coming back to you, where you're looking for those referral sources who are in and of themselves pipelines for revenue because they think of you from time to time and say, you got to meet Rob or you've got to meet David, right? So when you're starting to develop that list, make sure that you have more than nine and make sure that you don't exceed 35. And here's why. This is why it's so important that this list stays short. You got to go deep with these relationships. You have to have meaningful interactions with them. It takes a lot longer to write an email that hits all the notes that we just talked about. It's relevant, it's value added, it's not repetitive to the last email you sent, and you're on a roughly monthly cadence so that you don't fall out of that top of mind status. I'm sorry, but if you've got 1,000 people you're trying to do that with, you are relegated to some sort of technology that's just going to blast them with generic messaging. You can't get super personalized unless you have a short list. So get that short list written down and then get into a monthly cadence and anticipate those 14 interactions. Hopefully it'll happen sooner and they'll want to do business with you sooner, but stay in the game. And those very simple concepts are really at the heart of the shortlist method.
Boy, outstanding. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate that. I think what makes a great author, what makes a great speaker, is not that we've reinvented the wheel. It's that we've figured out how to explain the wheel so that you can actually implement what the wheel is supposed to do in
That's
a
right.
very simple way. That's really what separates us from the crowd. And so I appreciate things like 9 to 35, not, well, no, not too few and not too many. That one I knew before we started the conversation. So I appreciate that. Okay, we'll start wrapping up a little bit here. First of all, I want to thank you. We know on the show, folks, you need to know this athlete played hurt today. Yeah. He came in, he's banged up a little bit. He was nursing a sore throat, a little bit of a cough, but he grounded it out. He's been drinking between. That's why I've been talking a little bit. Give him some time to drink.
Appreciate that, Rob. You've been giving me a little bit of space to, get a sip of water and make sure that I can maintain my energy here.
Right. If only that was really true. I tend to talk a little too much anyway, but I appreciate you coming in and you sounded great. Great information. How do people get a hold of you?
They can go to the website, pipelineplus.com. That's the name of the company, or I'm on LinkedIn, David Ackert. And always happy to take an inquiry about the shortlist method or about the book or anything related to how I can help.
Perfect. And we'll have all that on our site as well. And go to Amazon and grab a copy of that book and put a review on that book. You've heard this guy speak now. He can explain it to you in a simple manner, and that's what makes it valuable. I appreciate it. And as you saw, I learned a few things from you today, and I thought I knew it all before you came on. Not. But anyway, David. Thanks for coming in here. Thanks for grinding it out, my man. And I wish you nothing but success with the book and your processes.
Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
You bet. Well, we'll do it again as well as we can next time, everybody. Until then, stay safe.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please rate and recommend it on iTunes, Outcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more information on this show and Rob at Jollis.com.